Welcome back to Politico Tech. Today's Tuesday, May 21st. I'm Stephen Overly. Imagine a future in which all of us get to own a piece of artificial intelligence, and that it's part of some social welfare program designed to boost economic opportunity. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman floated that idea recently. He called it universal basic compute. But I want to be clear, this wasn't a real policy proposal, and who knows if it ever will be. So why even talk about it? My colleague, Derek Robertson, summed it up like this.
This is a speculative, fantastical idea. It is at the heart of and front of mind of the leader of one of the most influential tech companies in America, if not the world right now.
Derek authors Politico's Digital Future Daily newsletter and wrote about Altman's speculative, fantastical idea in a recent edition. On the show today, Derek and I delve into universal basic compute and what it says about the tech brains who are shaping our future. Derek, welcome back to Politico Tech.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. Always great to talk.
So you're always exploring sort of big ideas emanating from the tech world. And there's a new one that is called universal basic compute. What is this?
So this is, we should briefly disclaim that this is barely an idea. This is an idea that we are taking seriously because someone with a great amount of power and influence over modern technology brought it up. That is to say, Sam Altman, the head and co-founder of OpenAI. He appeared the weekend before last now on the All In podcast, which for listeners who might not be familiar with it, it's sort of like The View for people who are really into venture capital. David Sachs and Jason Calacanis and their buddies all get together and kind of bat around political, technological ideas. You know, these people are extremely influential in this world, and therefore things they say, even in passing, tend to reflect sort of greater truths about the Silicon Valley ecosystem and the way people with lots of venture capital money think about the world. So that's all me prefacing this idea of universal basic compute, which is instead of giving people money in a traditional universal basic income scheme, that people might instead be given a slice of the computing power of a future OpenAI large language model.
Interesting. So this starts with this concept of universal basic income, which is an idea that has long been around, never fully realized. Walk us through that idea and kind of how the tech industry is now riffing on it.
Universal basic income is the idea that the government should give everybody a stipend to offset the impacts of automation and technological advancement on the workforce. This is particularly interesting in this case because Sam Altman is a big booster of the idea of a universal basic income. But the modern incarnation of it is an idea that is very popular in Silicon Valley circles because it has roots in the effective altruism movement, which is a sort of very techy, wonky, economics-driven form of liberal social policy, essentially. Listeners who aren't really immersed in the tech world might even remember that this was a huge part of Andrew Yang's campaign plank when he ran for president in 2020.
Yes, it was.
You know, he's deeply embedded in this world. He is of this kind of tech and venture capital world. So this is an ostensibly liberal social policy that has kind of quasi-libertarian aspects, appropriately enough, in which the state would be responsible for giving everyone just a flat amount of money, and that would supplement, or in some cases, even replace the currently existing kind of 20th century parts of the social safety net as it exists.
And so then universal basic compute is kind of this next iteration of an idea that itself has not been realized. But nevertheless, this is what Sam Altman is talking about. In layman's terms, what exactly is he proposing here?
Yeah, well, this is where we go to Tomorrowland from talking about, you know, social policy and AI products as they exist right now. Because what Altman is pitching is a vision of the future where by the time we get to, I believe he says GPT-7 in this interview, these products are so central to every part of the human endeavor that essentially, they are the human endeavor. He speaks of it so generally. And again, we should plant a flag here and say this is just an idea that he kind of casually tossed off. It's not a white paper or anything.
Right.
But he is envisioning a future where his product, OpenAI's product, is so central to the work that people do, how they interact with each other, how they communicate with each other, how they earn a living, how science is done, how commerce is done, that access to compute is the fundamental currency of society. In the way that a dollar reflects, you know, we have fiat currency now, but the idea that a dollar is a substitute for something else that is concrete, compute would be a substitute for value that you produce in the marketplace. And therefore, everybody should have a share of it in the kind of techno-futurist, altruistic future Altman envisions.
And so if compute is sort of this new currency, like, then what? How is he suggesting people would use it?
Well, he said that people could use it themselves, they could sell it, they could donate it for charitable purposes. Another idea that's really big in this world is that, you know, Sam Altman also, this is only tangentially connected, but Altman is also the creator of the WorldCoin project, which is an attempt to basically create and verify digital identity with a blockchain technology and with a cryptocurrency, the titular WorldCoin. So, you know, something modern, futuristic-minded tech entrepreneurs are always looking for is a way to more concretely tether the digital world and the physical world. That is to say, they like to say the world of the atoms and the world of bits. So I think that to someone like Altman, the idea of access to computing power taking the place of currency represents that link in some way. You know, I don't know anything much about his personal life, but I would imagine that for he and his ilk in Silicon Valley, there is a vanishing line between their digital life and their real life. So it only makes sense that you would want to instantiate that through some formal thing that represents like a polity or citizenship, like the WorldCoin project or the idea of giving out computer access as a universal social policy.
Well, I think for all of us, that line is certainly blurring, right, between our sort of digital lives and our in-person lives. I'm curious, and obviously this is just an idea, but in this future that Sam Altman is talking about, how much power does that give him? I mean, in a world where like compute is currency, is Sam Altman like, you know, the monopoly man or like the banker of the world?
Well, that's a great question. I would have really liked to ask him that follow-up question if I had been a host of this podcast. But immediately after Sam Altman said this, much to my chagrin as a listener, one of the other hosts said, I want to ask you about some completely unrelated gossip. So maybe we'll never know unless I get the chance to interview him about this sometime soon, which, Sam, if you or anybody or any of your friends are listening, please find my inbox.
Right. Come on Politico Tech.
But I don't know. You know, that's always at the heart of these kind of deeply ambitious social projects. You know, take somebody like Mark Zuckerberg. We are in the middle right now of a now years-long society-wide debate over whether social media platforms like Facebook or like Twitter, et cetera, TikTok, are part of the public sphere or not. You know, in a legalistic sense, everybody knows Facebook is a private business and it can theoretically do whatever it wants on its platform. We have some of the most liberal speech laws in the world. So we have to reframe this debate as a more philosophical one, which is, you know, Mark Zuckerberg is not the president, but he certainly wields more influence over American democracy than almost any private individual in many ways. So what role do they play here? In the world that Altman is pitching, that's an open question. This is a very long-winded way of answering you by saying nobody knows yet, but that might be the next frontier of political debate over the influence of these platforms.
Totally. Well, it harkens back to the whole like masters of the universe and this idea that these tech players now do wield so much power. And whatever future you can imagine, it's hard to imagine one where that does not continue to be true and probably increasingly true. I mean, if we do try to like take this, you know, concept and apply it in more practical terms, you know, the reality is, at least today, I can't, you know, pay for my rent or my groceries with compute. So if this were to ever be realized, this idea of universal basic compute, does it require kind of a complete rethink of how our economy operates?
That's an interesting question. I mean, if listeners recall, in the original investors agreement for OpenAI, there was this cheeky little disclaimer. Altman and the rest of the board warned investors that it, quote, may be difficult to know what money role will play in a post-AGI world.
Wow.
AGI meaning artificial general intelligence, or the speculative idea that an AI system could arise that equals or surpasses human capabilities in many ways. So what Altman is imagining, I think it's something like a Star Trek-esque future where an artificial intelligence system is so powerful that it is essentially able to solve the many complex systems of exchange and competition that govern markets and how people relate to each other today. So instead of, you know, finding your own purchasing power, you just need to have access to this system. You know, the Star Trek universe is one where currency has ceased to exist because they've sort of reached a post-scarcity society. I think that's a really popular idea among sort of hyper-futurist, transhumanist-minded Silicon Valley people, and it would not be surprising to me if Sam Altman legitimately believed that this is the future that his product could usher in.
I guess in that vein, is there like an equity argument here, right? That like if artificial intelligence is going to be the source of productivity and a source of wealth generation, that like the haves and have-nots will be those who do have access to it and those who don't. And so this kind of program is an idea of making sure everybody is plugged into whatever wealth and productivity that artificial intelligence generates.
Yeah, there's kind of like a techno-feudalist aspect to this idea, because if that utopian future does not arise, but these products still become as central as Altman envisions, you have a haves and have-nots system. You know, I spoke with the Foundation for American Innovations, Samuel Hammond, when I wrote this piece, and I think he had been watching Shogun on FX because he compared, I'm just speculating here, but this is because he compared this idea to the koku, which was a system in feudal Japan wherein wealth was measured in the amount of rice that was necessary to feed an adult for a year in feudal Japan. So essentially, you didn't think of money in terms of currency that represents something else. You thought of it in terms of the concrete thing that is needed to enable life, which in this case, in feudal Japan, is literally sustenance. In this case, it is access to the compute system. So yes, to answer your question, there's a potential for the cart to get put before the horse a bit, I think, and the technology to become extremely central to people's lives before the imagined egalitarian techno-utopia is achieved, and therefore that could create a quite unequal system.
Yeah, you know, the real policy issue in the here and now that I think about is the degree to which artificial intelligence will disrupt the workforce, you know, replace some jobs, augment others. And so these kind of audacious ideas about what the future will look like and how people can hold on to wealth with AI, they're certainly like fun to think about. But my mind then goes back to like, okay, in the next 5 to 10 years, as the workforce gets roiled by this technology, like, what are people going to do about it? And I guess I don't get the sense that universal basic compute is the solution to that problem.
Yeah, no, this is not a... I think that when you get to the top of the AI and Silicon Valley food chain, near-term thinking kind of takes a backseat to long-term thinking. You know, this is why OpenAI, until very recently, as some of their higher-up safety and super alignment researchers have left. But, you know, this is why most businesses would not find it profitable or even, frankly, sane to employ people at sort of the C-suite level whose entire job it is to make sure that their technology or their product doesn't basically achieve an imagined science fiction capability, which is to say artificial general intelligence. OpenAI does have that position, or it did until very recently when some high-profile people left the company. But I think that reflects, you know, as is so often the case, going back to the creation of the personal computer or the internet in many ways, a utopian vision kind of supersedes the near-term policy concerns, and that's left to the other instruments of civil society and government to remedy or clean up.
You know, in that vein, when you think about sort of the pantheon of big tech ideas, where does this fit into you?
This is speculative beyond speculative. The entire subject of my newsletter is essentially speculative technologies. You know, I write a lot about quantum computing, which is a real technology, but one that is not, you know, in practical everyday use by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, quantum computing is in the Chips and Science Act. It's something that is, you know, funded by the federal government. And there are many big laboratories and chip foundries in my state of New York, where I am, that are dedicated to furthering this technology. The idea of universal basic compute is hyper speculative. But I thought that it was worth singling out this one kind of almost an aside, really, because it is reflective of these greater themes that we're talking about and the difference between a company like OpenAI and most companies that are at the center of our tech policy debates, even ones like, you know, the big social media firms or TSMC chip making companies. This is not a pragmatic concern. This is a speculative, fantastical idea, but it is at the heart of and at the front of mind of the leader of one of the most influential tech companies in America, if not the world right now.
Yeah. At the end of the day, almost all ideas start out as hyper-speculation before becoming reality. And, you know, this may be far off, but people certainly care what Sam Altman thinks. So they're listening, without a doubt. Well, Derek, always fun to have you come on here and speculate with us. Appreciate you being on Politico Tech.
That's what I'm here for. Thank you, Stephen.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. See you back here tomorrow.